It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Tuesday, September 10th, the Commercial Break podcast welcomes international Latin megastar Nicky Jam. Nicky discusses his start as the rapping bad boy.
I mean, if you give me the right tip, I'll probably do it.
His Colombian redemption.
When you think of getting clean off drugs, Colombia maybe isn't the first place you think about.
And he helps Brian score some marriage points with his wife's family.
You were the soundtrack at my wedding, and you brought a bunch of gringos and Venezuelans together.
That's what music is for.
Follow and listen to the Commercial Break on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And to help you out with your lawn and garden questions, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney back with us this morning. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Denny. Good morning.
Nice to have you back with us. What a beautiful day to get outside.
It is a beautiful day to get outside before the rain for the next 2 days. So get out there and look at your yard. And then when the rain comes, just enjoy the rain and watch where it goes in your yard. But don't be walking on the wet lawns or gardens.
Or raking.
No raking, please.
I'm opening up the phone lines right now. If someone has a lawn and garden question, you can call it in. We'd love to hear from you. Or if it's easier, just send a text like a bunch of folks are already doing. Either way, one number for the phone call or text is this: 651-461-9226. Yeah, we're looking at around 60 degrees. With sunny skies today, I'm thinking, and I'm going to have to go, now that it's daylight, to go take a peek outside. I think I've seen some grass growing out of the dormant seeding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. So it was a success for you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to stay humble until those rains come. We'll see what happens.
In the meantime,
now what are you doing now with your yard, front or back?
I'm just looking where I can put my containers. I'm going to do a lot of fabric containers this year, and also seeing what my winter sowing is doing. So I think some of the things are up in there, and there's some containers that are a little wet, so I've got to figure out some more drainage holes for them. But that's what I'm doing, just kind of waiting and watching and seeing when the daffodils come up and just waiting patiently.
It's a fun time of year, isn't it?
It is a fun time of year, and I'm hearing the bird song out there and knowing that they're finding their mates and they're finding where they're going to nest, and I'm just so excited about all of that.
Absolutely. Again, let's do this. I'm going to give the number again, phone and text, and then we'll get down to business here. 651-461-9226. Here's the first one. My bleeding hearts are now a few inches out of the ground. At what point should I start applying bloom booster fertilizer? And do you do that when they are young and growing, when they are starting to develop buds, or right before they bloom? What do you think of those questions?
You could apply that just before the rains come tomorrow so that it starts to get down into the roots if you want to go ahead and do that. I believe that might be a granular fertilizer, so it'll take a little while to get down there. So go ahead and put that on just before the rains is wonderful.
All right. Before we get too far behind, let's grab a phone call this morning.
Okay.
Bob is calling in from Monticello, I do believe. Hi, Bob. What is your question for our Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney?
Hi, I've got a small area, maybe 20 by 20, that we planted with wildflowers a few years back. We just want to let it go natural. And it's kind of getting overgrown with some weeds now. We can't really burn it out because it's near a gas tank, propane tank. Wondering if it's the best way to get rid of those weeds. And the second thing is we have some high natural grasses, and do we cut those down to the ground and let them grow this summer, or just leave them as is?
Bob, congratulations on your 20 by 20. That's wonderful, all those wildflowers. You're going to have to get out there and hand weed those. That's the only way you can get it, I would do it sooner rather than later so you can get ahead of the weeds. The Extension website has some really good information on their new sources for yards and gardens. They've got not only pruning selection, but they've also got new weed web pages. So that might help you identify them. And for the grasses, go ahead and cut those back now. Most of the native ones here in Minnesota are warm season grasses, so they aren't growing yet. So it's easy to chop them right down to the ground. If you've got some of those cool season grasses like Carl Forrester or something like that, you might notice it's already growing. So just be careful when you're taking out the old dead grass, when you're cutting it down, that you're not cutting into the green. It's not going to hurt the plant. It just means that those leaf blades will be square on top and not pointy. So new leaf ways will come up and they'll be pointy. But you just don't want to cut into the green if you don't have to. So hand weed those weeds and then go ahead and cut back the brown on the tall grasses. Good luck, Bob.
I'm going to grab another phone call in a moment, but I want to catch up on text messages as well. Here's one. What bushes and plants can I prune now, still protect overwintering insects? And when can I prune everything? In particular, can I prune Annabelle hydrangeas and grasses now?
You can prune the Annabelle's hydrangeas and the grasses now. Go ahead and prune those. The other plants you want to wait, I believe, until the ground is about 50 degrees, I believe, for 4 or 5 days. I'd have to double check that it's either 50 or 60 degrees for about a week for those pollinators to emerge from those stems. If you're looking for pruning other shrub information, I would definitely head to the Extension page, extension.umn.edu. Julie has done a great job on new videos about how to prune shrubs, and it will take all the fear out of it and just make you an expert pruner in no time at all. So she'll tell you what you should be pruning, what you shouldn't be pruning, when you should prune, and how some certain ways that you can prune for size or shape or flower color or flower production.
That Extension website has so much good information. Extension.umn.edu. We'll keep reminding you of that too.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Teresa, another phone call. Kathy has been waiting there in Excelsior to ask you a question. Hi, Kathy. What is your question today?
My question is, I brought my canna bulbs in this fall, and they have grown and bloomed. Is that going to be a problem this spring when I replant them?
Oh my goodness, Kathy, you just got a green thumb that can overcome anything. It won't be
evidently
a problem. You're just
it
amazing.
It shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't be a problem. You can go ahead. You've probably cut them back already, and they're not flowering any longer, I would assume, correct? Or are they flowering now?
Flowering.
Okay, I would go ahead and either pot them up or get them ready to plant like you normally do outside. They were probably just confused last year with the longer kind of weird weather, and they just went into a second bloom cycle. So as soon as they start coming up, I would probably fertilize them to give them a little extra food and a little extra nutrition, and then just pot them up and get them growing on and have the quadruple blooms that you just apparently are going to have because of your green thumb. Good luck with that, Kathy.
Teresa, before we do a quick break, let's grab another phone call. We've got a lot of folks wanting to talk to you or ask you questions. Todd is next up. You're calling from Bloomington. Hi, Todd. What's your question for Teresa?
Teresa, I have a hibiscus plant we bought last year. It bloomed beautifully. We brought it indoors. It bloomed for about a month, but now it is not blooming. Is it going to come back?
Sure, it'll come back, Todd. It'll come back just fine. It's just waiting for more sun. So as soon as we start getting some more sun, you could put it under a grow light if you want. Otherwise, just put it near the brightest window. Keep it healthy. If it's growing and adding new leaves, you can fertilize it. Otherwise, wait till it starts to add leaves or starts to bud out. As soon as it gets that bright sun, it'll start setting flower buds, and you'll have no problem. Good luck with that, Todd.
All right, let's do this. A quick break is in order, and we'll come back and we'll pick up on more text messages and your phone calls. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, at least as of last report, 37 degrees. We are heading to near 60, but a breezy day today and some showers possibly on the way in the Twin Cities for tomorrow. Right now, 37 on News. And good morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls and text messages for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. 651-461-9226. And as you know, Teresa, we have a mixture of both calls and text messages to keep you busy. In fact, let's grab a phone call first and we'll get back to the text messages. Dorothy is calling from Minneapolis. Hi, Dorothy. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. I've noticed about 5 spots of dirt in my front yard, and it looks like something has been digging up in the grass, and I'm just wondering, what could this be? They aren't real big. They're maybe like 12 inches long and maybe just a couple inches wide or so.
What you might be seeing is some vole activity, or if
vole?
You have vole with a, mole with an M, mole activity, that sometimes can give you some mounds. Also, there's skunks and raccoons out there looking for grubs in the yard, so sometimes they might be doing that at night. So it could be any one of those that you might be seeing. So what I would do is I would go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and look on the problems with the yards and gardens and the lawns, and that will give you some idea about, really help identify and then go from there about what you might want to do or if you have to do anything at all. Good luck.
I remember, thanks, Dorothy. I remember in past shows, Teresa, that our listeners would call in, check in. As you know, we have the smartest listeners.
We do have smart listeners.
That they were who evidently in the know, in cases like this, they were talking about some kind of gopher would do something like that. Is that true?
There's gophers out there. There's chipmunks. Right. There's, you know, the earthworms and the night crawlers. All those critters are out there digging up, moving our lawns and our gardens around, moving the soil around, doing what they're supposed to do. And sometimes we just don't like that in our landscape. So, yeah.
They're versions of aeration, then, for
their
us.
Version of aeration and foraging for food.
Okay, let's get back to the text messages. Good morning. This one says, I have a wild rose bush. Just wondering when is the best time to trim it and how much I can trim on it.
Normally, if it's a hardy shrub, you can go pretty far down if you want to. You want to wait until it starts to come out of dormancy so you can really see what didn't survive the winter. And then just prune out all the dead canes, of course. And then you want to prune out to make sure that it's going to be the right size for your location and that you're always pruning to an outward-facing bud, or that you're opening up the center so you get really good air circulation so you can minimize some of those rose diseases. So it really depends on how big you want to keep that shrub and how far you want to go back. Again, I would suggest maybe looking at Julie's series on pruning shrubs that may give you some tips about your specific rose. And that's on the extension website, extension.umn.edu. And Julie is not paying me to promote her videos.
No. It's such a great website.
It is.
This is a simple question from a listener. What's a good potting soil for tomato plants?
If you're going to put it in a container, in a pot, just any potting soil will work. Obviously, you wouldn't want to use like a cactus mix, but just your standard potting soil will work just fine.
Okay. Texter says, greetings and happy spring and to you. Please talk about, quote, bugs on indoor houseplants. Why and how do plants get them? Where do they come from? And how is the best way to get rid of them?
It's kind of magical, isn't it? They come in, actually, they can come in through the air, through little leaks in our windows. They can be dormant in the soil if the plants have gone outside. If you've gone somewhere, one may come home on you. You just never know, and then it finds a happy place in your plant. A lot of times we're starting to see our house plants in February and March and April. They're really stressed because they've been in our really dry houses that are kind of dark, and it's kind of hard for plants to grow. So they're really stressed now, and all the stress is building up on them. It's like they've had a bad diet all winter long, and now they're just getting sick. So just watch them again. The extension website, extension.umn.edu. Now is a perfect time to be looking for those houseplants and seeing what you might be seeing. Identify the houseplant correctly and then go from there. If you do have further questions, you can always take pictures of the houseplant and the insect that you're seeing. You can get a good picture of it. And you can always send it to the Master Gardeners on Ask a Master Gardener if you can't figure out what it might be or how to take care of it. If the website can't help you, go to the Master Gardeners and ask them.
All right. Great idea. Listener says this, our backyard is on the west side of our house. It's shady, backs up to a wetland. Moss and lichens grow on the trees and woods. Squirrels and turkeys tend to scratch up the ground, eventually leaving us with dirt and mud. Is Creeping Charlie a good idea for that area? I know most people hate it, but it is the only thing that seems to grow back there. So wondering if it can actually be planted or the growth spread up.
Yes, you can actually plant it, and that would be a good option for you in that area if that's something you're looking for. And you can easily just take lengths of Creeping Charlie and just on the bare soil, just kind of lay them down and kind of tap them in, and a lot of that will root out for you. And I know most of the people out there are screaming, "Don't do it!" But you know, the right plant in the right place. And sometimes if you have a really bad place and you don't need a lawn and you're just seeing erosion and plant death, Creeping Charlie, if it lives, that's a great thing to hold the soil then for you.
And I've heard, and you guys back me up, that's part of the mint family?
It is a member of the mint family, yes. And, you know, it is an herb, so you can use it. Some people make Creeping Charlie tea. Again, I would hesitate to suggest that. But if you want to try it, do your research and try little bits at a time. You never want to incorporate a wild plant or a new plant so quickly in your diet. You want to make sure you're not allergic to it. Yeah. And always make sure you've identified it properly.
Good point. This listener, and then we'll break for that forecast. I have twin blossoms on my Thanksgiving cactus. How rare is this?
It can happen. Just sometimes the cactus just gets a little out of sync. Maybe the house was a little cool for a little while, or it might have been a little dark for a little while. It got a little bit cooler, and it just had the right situation to set those buds again. So it's not normal, but it's a bonus. So I would say yay for you.
All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break and see what the National Weather Service has to say about our upcoming weather rest of the weekend and the rest of the week, for that matter. And then we'll have about another half hour of the show to go here on our Smart Garden Show. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. It seems like, Teresa, everybody, news, everybody's talking about the eclipse.
The eclipse, the solar eclipse. It's so exciting. Now, that's on Monday. Here in Minnesota, we won't see a full solar eclipse, a total eclipse, but we will see quite a nice one. However, we're probably going to have clouds. Even if you go out and it's cloudy, please wear glasses if you're the certified ISO glasses for the eclipse, if you're going to look at the eclipse. And if you're using any kind of binoculars, telescopes, phones, they have to be equipped with special filters also. Otherwise, you could burn your eyes and not be able to see anything ever again. So it's a special thing, And yes, it will get dark even if we have clouds. But if you are in a sunny area or if the clouds break a little bit and you can watch it, I just want you to all be safe out there. That's my PSA.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. Again, 65, our number is phone number and text number. Same thing, 651-461-9226. Before we get back to text messages, let's grab a phone call. Cindy calling in, I believe, from Shakopee this morning. Hi, Cindy. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering, is it time? Can I dig up my sedum now and move it? It needs to be divided.
Okay, Cindy, thanks for waiting. And yes, if you can dig in the soil, today would be a great day to dig those sedums, divide them, get them replanted where you want them, and then Mother Nature, give them a good drink of water, and then Mother Nature will water them in for the next 2 days for you.
All right, great. Thanks, Cindy. I was looking at the next text. I dormant seeded last fall, texter says, should I think about watering right now?
You could give it a drink of water if you're not thinking you're going to get rain tomorrow. Otherwise, yes, do go ahead and give it some water. You want to start waking those seeds up. And now hopefully we'll get some normal spring rains that will start all these seeds to be woken up and get that grass growing for you. Good luck with that.
I'm looking at some other lawn questions, Teresa. Here's one: with rain planned for tomorrow and Monday and warmer temperatures this week, would this be a weekend, be a good time to apply fertilizer to the lawn and grub control?
I would double check on the grub control. Go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu. Check on the grubs, what grubs you're looking at, how big the grubs are in your yard, what grubs you have found in your yard. Identify them correctly, and that will tell you when to treat them. I would also read the package of the grub control that you purchased. It will tell you how warm the soil has to be, if there's air temperature issues, and the moisture level, if that is in a problem or an issue with the soil. I would not be fertilizing right now unless your grass is up and actively growing. I would just wait a little bit longer. I don't think the grass is up and growing quite yet. Just give it a little more time and then go ahead and fertilize once it starts to actively grow. Again, I would suggest go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and go to the lawn page, and you'll learn more about lawns than you ever knew was possible.
I think you're probably going to answer the same answer with this one. Is it too early to apply crabgrass preventative?
It's way too early for crabgrass preventative, unless you're calling from Missouri or something.
What is, a listener saying, asking, the best mulch and fertilizer for blueberries?
You can use any mulch on your blueberries. They have very shallow root systems, so you want to put some kind of mulch down. A fertilizer should maybe one for acid-loving plants, and then you want to make sure that you're testing the soil or that you're applying some kind of amendment to keep the soil at a lower pH, like soil sulfur or something like that, in the spring and the fall for your blueberries. Then just prune them properly, and you should be happy. But any kind of mulch works just fine. You can use leaves, pine needles, wood chips, whatever you like the look of.
All right, good. Let's grab another phone call. Teresa, Gary is phoning in this morning from St. Louis Park. Hi, Gary. What is your question?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're talking about fertilizing, because that's my question today, and I realize it's too early to do that. And I also realize that if you put down fertilizer with crabgrass preventative, you will not be able to plant grass seeds and have them germinate. My question is, I want to fertilize, and I want some weed control, but I also might want to lay some grass seed down. Will a weed and feed allow me to do that?
A weed and feed might. I would make sure that it's only for broadleaf weeds, so double check that it's hitting broadleaf weeds. And as you said, Gary, it's too early for all of that kind of stuff. What you might want to do is just maybe not think about the seeding. You can seed a little bit now, but then put a calendar reminder at the end of August to overseed those areas, definitely, to remind you to overseed at the optimum time, and then you're not fighting against fertilizing and crabgrass and weed control. Good luck with that, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Now, here's another one. Is it too late to trim a branch or two off my young Korean maple?
It is not. Go ahead and you can trim that. Again, if you have any other questions, I would definitely go to those really cool articles by Julie and the extension website. But your maple, you can go ahead and trim. Remember, whenever you're trimming on a tree, you never want to trim more than, say, 25% of the crown. So if it's a very young maple and you're with those two branches coming off, you're trimming 40 to 50%, then you only want to trim the lowest branch or the branch that's causing you problems, and then do the next one next year.
Okay. I know we mentioned earlier, don't do any lawn raking yet, but this texter says, how soon can lawns be raked in preparation for putting down fertilizer and crabgrass preventer? So when do you think we could rake? Looking in your weather crystal ball, what do you think?
Darn it, I left the crystal ball up on the shelf and I can't reach it. So what I want you to do is just make sure that the lawn is dry when you're raking. You never want to be raking so much. If it's muddy or wet, you're not only going to compress the soil when you walk on it, but you're also going to pull out those little grass babies that you want growing out there. You're going to pull out all those little plants. So you want to make sure that the soil is nice and dry, that you can walk on it, that it's not frozen, and then go ahead and lightly rake. And just look, when you start raking, if you suddenly realize there's a lot of green in your raking, what you're pulling up, you're raking too hard, or the soil could be too wet, or those grass seedlings are just so tiny that you're just pulling them right out and you're kind of defeating the purpose. So then just back off and wait a few days for the soil to dry out a little bit more.
Okay. I was wondering, Teresa, if we were going to be getting any questions about this, but this texter says, how about the cicada waves coming? Will this affect the perennials and our lawns?
We're not going to have the tsunami of cicadas. We're just going to have a regular cicada season. We're fine here. Don't worry about it. It's not the cicada apocalypse. It won't impact the lawns at all. We may see a few more. It's not going to impact what we see in our lawns.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Texter wants to know, is there a website that reports ground temperature?
There is. Yes, there is. You can even just Google Minnesota ground temperature and you should find it. Otherwise, go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and you can find it listed on there. There'll be a connection, probably in the lawn and garden area, because that's where you might, or the lawn area, that's where you might want to worry about temperatures for crabgrass and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. This texter says, Teresa, can you give me any hints on how to get my mother-in-law plant to bloom again? It bloomed years ago, but never again. Thank you.
They don't bloom very often, and when they do, it's pretty gosh darn spectacular. It's just something that's so unexpected. So it might need to be, make sure that it's old enough that you haven't divided it. Might need to be a little bit root-bound. They like to be root-bound anyway, really tight in their pots. And then you may want to stress it just a little bit, make sure it's getting as much sun and heat. I know that's what caused mine to bloom one year. It was up in the area where it was so hot and sunny, and I kind of forgot about it for a little bit. It's like, oh, you're blooming. It was quite wonderful. So the sun and the heat, maybe put it outside, let it enjoy some full sun, and it doesn't have to wear eclipse glasses. It'll be just fine.
Two different questions related to Annabelle hydrangeas. One says, my Annabelle hydrangeas are budding. Can I still cut them back to about 1 foot? That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, what is the best fertilizer to use for them on the north side of our house? We have a lot of clay in our yard.
Okay, so if they're starting to bud out, sure, you can still prune them back. You'll probably just be delaying some blooms. Not a big deal. They bloom on new wood anyway, so don't worry about it. And the fertilizer, just any regular garden fertilizer will work for you. If you want to use a liquid, you can use a liquid, or just a regular basic 10-10-10, or if you're going organic, just a balanced fertilizer, a light fertilizer, anything will work for your Annabelles. That should be just fine.
This texter says, is it too early to clean out flower gardens?
It depends. If your flower garden is nice and dry and you want to start cleaning, you can start doing that. If it's wet soil, do not walk on the soil and just wait till it dries out a little bit. If you've left some stuff standing for pollinators, the stem nesting bees and things like that, and some of the butterflies, if you want to cut that back carefully and then just maybe put those stems in an out-of-the-way place so the pollinators can still hatch out of them. Otherwise, wait until, I believe it's the temperatures have to be like 60 degrees for a week. I seem to remember that in my mind. And that wakes up the pollinators. And I think we're supposed to get that after this little bit of rain and coolness. So wait a little while and then cut them back. But if the pollinators and I think we're supposed to get that after this little bit of rain and coolness. So wait a little while and then cut them back. But if you need to start cleaning up now, just carefully clean up what you have to clean up. And if you're saving for pollinators, just put the brush, the stuff you've pruned, just put it under some shrubs and just let the pollinators hatch. And then in 2 or 3 weeks, just clean that up and put it in your compost bin.
All right. Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a bit of a break here and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder, coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis will be with us answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour on our home improvement show that makes it handy. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 37 degrees going for 60. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions. Teresa, we're getting a bunch of, maybe we could just generally answer questions about fertilizing our lawns. When do you think, is it too early? This week, obviously, the weatherman saying, you know, we could get some showers. Is this a good week or should we wait a while?
I'd probably wait till your lawn is actively growing.
Okay.
Wait till you start to see it greening up and then go ahead and fertilize. And just to throw this out there, the most important fertilizer you can do is the winterizer in the fall. That will help your lawns green up fast in the spring and help them be nice and robust and healthy, go through the winter and come out just like gangbusters in the spring. So again, make a note on your calendar in the 1st of September to look at the winterizing for your lawn.
Yeah, that really is, and you and your colleagues remind us of that, and John Trappi as well, the turf guru. Yeah, the winter fertilizer, the fall is really the best one.
That's because it gets down to the roots, and then the plant can work on it all winter long. It's there. What you put down now is going to take a little while to get down there.
Okay, very good. This listener has lots of leaves on my huge perennial garden over the winter. I want to remove most of those leaves before the rain comes tomorrow. You think it's a good idea?
Sure. Just be careful with removing the leaves. Depending upon what part of the state you're in, just keep an eye open for if you're seeing, if we're going to have a frost and you want to put some leaves back over some little tender perennials that you may have. Otherwise, if they get nipped by the frost, it's not a big deal.
This texter says this, Teresa, purchased flowering hyacinths at Garden Center. Done blooming. Now what should I do with the bulbs?
If you want to, you can plant them in your yard. Lots of times the ones that are forced in the floral industry won't do much or anything next year, and hyacinths tend not to come back that reliably anyway. So you have an option. Either plant them and see what happens next spring or send them to the compost pile with thanks.
Okay. Here's an issue we talk about every, maybe 52 weeks a year. Rabbits are rampant in our neighborhood. Any suggestions on how to protect our plants?
Fencing is your friend. Learn to love chicken wire. Learn to love rabbit fencing. Plant plants that they don't care for as much, the alliums and the herbs and things like that that have strong odors and fragrances and smells. And you can use some of the repellents that are fragrance-based, that are smell-based. Just read them. The blood meal and things like that break down really fast once they get wet. Some last a little bit longer. And then if you're going to go the repellent route, maybe buy 3 or 4 different kinds and change them up every 2 or 3 weeks just to kind of keep the rabbits on their toes. These little critters live with us. They're used to humans. They're used to smells. They pick up really quickly when they're safe and when they're not safe. And just because it's a new smell, it's scary. But if the new smell's out there for 6 months, it's not scary anymore.
I was noticing yesterday a rabbit that I thought was gone showed
<It's>
up again. Only initially last year it was kind of tiny, And I thought it snuck through some of my fencing, and I thought, but now it's so big, it'll never get out. So that's a whole different thing.
That is the problem with fencing. You can't protect them then.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, he or she is having a good year.
Yes.
How do you repot, Texter says, a very overgrown aloe plant that also has a cactus in it?
If you want to keep them together, you just put them back into cactus soil when you're going to repot them. Just do it very carefully. They have a very shallow root system, and they can get really top heavy. So you would just take it gently out of the pot and either put in new soil or take some of the soil off and put new soil in, and then just carefully place it in a little hole, and then just backfill carefully. Give it a nice drink of water, and it should be just fine.
The only question I've seen so far, as far as lawns go, are grass seed. Would it be okay to put down grass seed now?
Sure, you can. I don't know if the birds will get most of it, but now's an okay time to overseed your lawn. Just remember that you've put down grass seed, and you won't want to use a crabgrass preventer next month on that. You just don't want to, because the grass seed may not have sprouted yet. Look at the grass seed. It'll tell you if it sprouts in 3 days or 21 days or 28 days. Just see what kind of seed you're getting from the garden centers, and use the right seed in the right location, sunny or shady or high traffic or whatever.
Very good. Would it be safe, Texter says, to uncover my rose bushes today? They are mostly tea roses.
Sure. It should be just fine. Just double check the temperatures at night. You may want to just put a quick cover over them some nights if we're going to get down into the low 30s. But otherwise, they should be fine with the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Okay. Why are the leaves of my peace lily turning black? Listener wants to know.
It could be a variety of reasons. It could be that the leaf has been damaged somehow beneath when you've watered. If you're seeing it, if they're wilting, maybe it's getting too much water, not enough water. They don't really like the water from our faucets. If you have a water softener, definitely don't use any water from the faucets that use the water softener, because that's a salt, and you don't want to be adding salt into your peace lilies. So you'd want to use, distilled water or something like that, or take it from a faucet that doesn't use your water softener salt. Go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Look at the houseplant area. That'll give you some ideas. If none of this stuff is working for you and nothing seems right, then take some pictures and go to the extension website again and hit down to the Ask a Master Gardener and send them a few pictures and say, help, what's going on?
Sounds very good. We only have about a minute to go. Texter wants to move a fern peony. It's not doing so well. What's the best location?
A fern peony would like the full sun. That would like full sun.
Okay.
It's like North Dakota. Think of North Dakota, full hot sun. That baby wants full sun.
Okay. Now, what we haven't mentioned is to get to the Arboretum.
Go to the Arboretum. There's lots of stuff going on there. The Dutch iris are blooming. The hellebores are blooming. The pussy willows are blooming. The crocuses and trilliums are blooming. Discount days start next weekend for members. There's plant walks starting on the 22nd, and there's always yoga in the garden.
And it's such a marvelous place. But keep in mind, you do need to make reservations online.
Yeah, get your e-ticket first. But that helps you with parking, so that's really good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you want to get some good reading in and you want to watch when the showers come in the next couple of days, sit back and get on the university website, extension.umn.edu. It's great. A lot of love goes into that website.
Use that to get out a lot of chores at home, making dinner, cleaning up.
Oh, I like that idea.
You've got to do some research for the garden. You've got to do the research so somebody else has to clean the cat box.
Thank you so much, Teresa. We'll do this again.
See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Linda's next hour on News Talk 830 WCCO.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Tuesday, September 10th, the Commercial Break Podcast welcomes international Latin megastar Nicky Jam. Nicky discusses his start as the rapping bad boy.
I mean, if you give me the right tip, I'll probably do
it. His Colombian redemption.
When you think of getting clean off drugs, Colombia maybe isn't the first place you think about.
And he helps Brian score some marriage points with his wife's family.
You were the soundtrack at my wedding, and you brought a bunch of gringos and Venezuelans together.
That's what music is for.
Follow and listen to the Commercial Break on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And to help you out with your lawn and garden questions, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney back with us this morning. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Denny. Good morning.
Nice to have you back with us. What a beautiful day to get outside.
It is a beautiful day to get outside before the rain for the next 2 days. So get out there and look at your yard. And then when the rain comes, just enjoy the rain and watch where it goes in your yard. But don't be walking on the wet lawns or gardens.
Or raking yet.
Or raking. No raking, please.
I'm opening up the phone lines right now. If someone has a lawn and garden question, you can call it in. We'd love to hear from you. Or if it's easier, just send a text like a bunch of folks are already doing. Either way, one number for the phone call or text is this, 651-461-9226. Yeah, we're looking at around 60 degrees. With sunny skies today, I'm thinking, and I'm going to have to go, now that it's daylight, to go take a peek outside. I think I've seen some grass growing out of the dormant seeding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. So it was a success for you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to stay humble until those rains come. We'll see what happens.
You got this, Denny.
In the meantime, now what are you doing now with your yard, front or back?
I'm just looking where I can put my containers. I'm going to do a lot of fabric containers this year. And also seeing what my winter sowing is doing. So I think some of the things are up in there, and there's some containers that are a little wet. So I've got to figure out some more drainage holes for them. But that's what I'm doing, just kind of waiting and watching and seeing when the daffodils come up and just waiting patiently.
It's a fun time of year, isn't it?
It is a fun time of year, and I'm hearing the bird song out there and knowing that they're finding their mates and they're finding where they're going to nest, and I'm just so excited about all of that.
Absolutely. Again, let's do this. I'm going to give the number again, phone and text, and then we'll get down to business here. 651-461-9226. Here's the first one. My bleeding hearts are now a few inches out of the ground. At what point should I start applying bloom booster fertilizer? And do you do that when they are young and growing, when they are starting to develop buds, or right before they bloom? What do you think of those questions?
You could apply that just before the rains come tomorrow so that it starts to get down into the roots if you want to go ahead and do that. I believe that might be a granular fertilizer, so it'll take a little while to get down there. So go ahead and put that on just before the rains is wonderful.
All right. Before we get too far behind, let's grab a phone call this morning.
Okay.
Bob is calling in from Monticello, I do believe. Hi, Bob. What is your question for our Master Gardener, Teresa Rooney?
Hi. I've got a small area, maybe 20 by 20. It's that we planted with wildflowers a few years back. We just want to let it go natural. And it's kind of getting overgrown with some weeds now. We can't really burn it out because it's near a gas tank, propane tank. Wondering if it's the best way to get rid of those weeds. And the second thing is we have some high natural grasses. And do we cut those down to the ground and let them grow this summer or just leave them as is?
Bob, congratulations and on your 20 by 20. That's wonderful, all those wildflowers. You're going to have to get out there and hand weed those. That's the only way you can get it. I would do it sooner rather than later so you can get ahead ahead of the weeds. The Extension website has some really good information on their new sources for yards and gardens. They've got not only pruning selection, but they've also got new weed web pages. So that might help you identify them. And for the grasses, go ahead and cut those back now. Most of the native ones here in Minnesota are warm season grasses, so they aren't growing yet. So it's easy to chop them right down to the ground. If you've got some of those cool season grasses like Carl Forrester or something like that, you might notice it's already growing. So just be careful when you're taking out the old dead grass, when you're cutting it down, that you're not cutting into the green. It's not going to hurt the plant. It just means that those leaf blades will be square on top and not pointy. So new leaf ways will come up and they'll be pointy. But you just don't want to cut into the green if you don't have to. So hand weed those weeds and then go ahead and cut back the brown on the tall grasses. Good luck, Bob.
I'm going to grab another phone call in a moment, but I want to catch up on text messages as well. Here's one. What bushes and plants can I prune now, still protect overwintering insects? And when can I prune everything? In particular, can I prune Annabelle hydrangeas and grasses now?
You can prune the Annabelle's hydrangeas and the grasses now. Go ahead and prune those. The other plants you want to wait, I believe, until the ground is about 50 degrees, I believe, for 4 or 5 days. I'd have to double check that it's either 50 or 60 degrees for about a week for those pollinators to emerge from those stems. If you're looking for pruning other shrub information, I would definitely head to the Extension page, extension.umn.edu. Julie has done a great job on new videos about how to prune shrubs, and it will take all the fear out of it and just make you an expert pruner in no time at all. So she'll tell you what you should be pruning, what you shouldn't be pruning, when you should prune, and how some certain ways that you can prune for size or shape or flower color or flower production.
That Extension website has so much good information. Extension.umn.edu. We'll keep
it's
reminding
amazing.
You of that too.
Yeah, it's
Teresa, another phone call. Kathy has been waiting there in Excelsior to ask you a question. Hi, Kathy. What is your question today?
My question is, I brought my canna bulbs in this fall, and they have grown and bloomed. Is that going to be a problem this spring when I replant them?
Oh my goodness, Kathy, you just got a green thumb that can overcome anything. It won't be
evidently
a problem. You're just
it
amazing.
Shouldn't be a problem.
And it shouldn't be a problem. You can go ahead. You've probably cut them back already, and they're not flowering any longer, I would assume, correct? Or are they flowering now?
They're not flowering.
Okay, I would go ahead and either pot them up or get them ready to plant like you normally do outside. They were probably just confused last year with the longer kind of weird weather, and they just went into a second bloom cycle. So as soon as they start coming up, I would probably fertilize them to give them a little extra food and a little extra nutrition, and then just pot them up and get them growing on and have the quadruple blooms that you just apparently are going to have because of your green thumb. Good luck with that, Kathy.
Teresa, before we do a quick break, let's grab another phone call. We've got a lot of folks wanting to talk to you or ask you questions. Todd is next up. You're calling from Bloomington. Hi, Todd. What's your question for Teresa?
Teresa, I have a hibiscus plant we bought last year. It bloomed beautifully. We brought it indoors. It bloomed for about a month, but now it is not blooming. Is it going to come back?
Sure, it'll come back, Todd, it'll come back just fine. It's just waiting for more sun. So as soon as we start getting some more sun, you could put it under a grow light if you want. Otherwise, just put it near the brightest window. Keep it healthy. If it's growing and adding new leaves, you can fertilize it. Otherwise, wait till it starts to add leaves or starts to bud out. As soon as it gets that bright sun, it'll start setting flower buds and you'll have no problem. Good luck with that, Todd.
All right, let's do this. A quick break is in order, and we'll come back and we'll pick up on more text messages and your phone calls. 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, at least as of last report, 37 degrees. We are heading to near 60, but a breezy day today and some showers possibly on the way in the Twin Cities for tomorrow. Right now, 37 on News. And good morning to you. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming your phone calls and text messages for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. 651-461-9226. And as you know, Teresa, we have a mixture of both calls and text messages to keep you busy. In fact, let's grab a phone call first and we'll get back to the text messages. Dorothy is calling from Minneapolis. Hi, Dorothy. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. I've noticed about five spots of dirt in my front yard, and it looks like something has been digging up in the grass, and I'm just wondering, what could this be? They aren't real big. They're maybe like 12 inches long and maybe just a couple inches wide or so.
What you might be seeing is some vole activity, or if
vole?
You have vole with a, I'm sorry, mole with an M, mole activity, that sometimes can give you some mounds. Also, there's skunks and raccoons out there looking for grubs in the yard, so sometimes they might be doing that at night. So it could be any one of those that you might be seeing. So what I would do is I would go to the extension website, extension.uman.edu, and look on the problems with the yards and gardens and the lawns, and that will give you some idea about, really help identify and then go from there about what you might want to do or if you have to do anything at all. Good luck.
I remember, thanks, Dorothy. I remember in past shows, Teresa, that our listeners would call in, check in. As you know, we have the smartest listeners.
We do have smart listeners.
That they were, who evidently in the know, in cases like this, they were talking about some kind of gopher would do something like that. Is that true?
There's gophers out there. There's chipmunks. Right. There's, you know, the earthworms and the night crawlers. All those critters are out there digging up, moving our lawns and our gardens around, moving the soil around, doing what they're supposed to do. And sometimes we just don't like that in our landscape. So, yeah.
Their versions of aeration, then, for
their
us.
Version of aeration and foraging right. for food.
Okay, let's get back to the text messages. Good morning. This one says, I have a wild rose bush. Just wondering when is the best time to trim it and how much I can trim on it.
Normally, if it's a hardy shrub, you can go pretty far down if you want to. You want to wait until it starts to come out of dormancy so you can really see what didn't survive the winter. And then just prune out all the dead canes, of course. And then you want to prune out to make sure that it's going to be the right size for your location and that you're always pruning to an outward-facing bud or that you're opening up the center so you get really good air circulation so you can minimize some of those rose diseases. So it really depends on how big you want to keep that shrub and how far you want to go back. Again, I would suggest maybe looking at Julie's series on pruning shrubs that may give you some tips about your specific rose. And that's on the extension website, extension.uman.edu. And Julie is not paying me to promote her videos.
No. It's such a great website.
It is.
This is a simple question from a listener. What's a good potting soil for tomato plants?
If you're going to put it in a container, in a pot, just any potting soil will work. Obviously, you wouldn't want to use like a cactus mix, but just your standard potting soil will work just fine.
Okay. Texter says, greetings and happy spring and to you. Please talk about, quote, bugs on indoor houseplants. Why and how do plants get them? Where do they come from? And how is the best way to get rid of them?
It's kind of magical, isn't it? They come in, actually, they can come in through the air, through little leaks in our windows. They can be dormant in the soil if the plants have gone outside. If you've gone somewhere, one may come home on you. You just never know. And then it finds a happy place in your plant. A lot of times we're starting to see our house plants in February and March and April. They're really stressed because they've been in our really dry houses that are kind of dark, and it's kind of hard for plants to grow. So they're really stressed now, and all the stress is building up on them. It's like they've had a bad diet all winter long, and now they're just getting sick. So just watch them again. The extension website, extension.umn.edu, now is a perfect time to be looking for those houseplants and seeing what you might be seeing. Identify the houseplant correctly and then go from there. If you do have further questions, you can always take pictures of the houseplant and the insect that you're seeing. You can get a good picture of it, and you can always send it to the Master Gardeners on Ask a Master Gardener if you can't figure out what it might be or how to take care of it. If the website can't help you, go to the Master Gardeners and ask them.
All right. Great idea. Listener says this: our backyard is on the west side of our house. It's shady, backs up to a wetland. Moss and lichens grow on the trees and woods. Squirrels and turkeys tend to scratch up the ground, eventually leaving us with dirt and mud. Is Creeping Charlie a good idea for that area? I know most people hate it, but it is the only thing that seems to grow back there. So wondering if it can actually be planted or the growth spread up.
Yes, you can actually plant it, and that would be a good option for you in that area if that's something you're looking for. And you can easily just take lengths of Creeping Charlie and just on the bare soil, just kind of lay them down and kind of tap them in, and a lot of that will root out for you. And I know most of the people out there are screaming, "Don't do it!" But you know, the right plant in the right place. And sometimes if you have a really bad place and you don't need a lawn and you're just seeing erosion and plant death, Creeping Charlie, if it lives, that's a great thing to hold the soil then for you.
And I've heard, and you guys back me up, that's part of the mint family?
It is a member of the mint family, yes. And, you know, it is an herb, so you can use it. Some people make Creeping Charlie tea. Again, I would hesitate to suggest that, but if you want to try it, do your research and try little bits at a time. You never want to incorporate a wild plant or a new plant so quickly in your diet. You want to make sure you're not allergic to it and always make sure you've identified it properly.
Good point. This listener, and then we'll break for that forecast. I have twin blossoms on my Thanksgiving cactus. How rare is this?
It can happen. Just sometimes the cactus just gets a little out of sync. Maybe the house was a little cool for a little while, or it might have been a little dark for a little while. It got a little bit cooler, and it just had the right situation to set those buds again. So it's not normal, but it's a bonus. So I would say yay for you.
All right. Hang on, Teresa. We're going to take a break and see what the National Weather Service has to say about our upcoming weather rest of the weekend and the rest of the week, for that matter. And then we'll have about another half hour of the show to go here on our Smart Garden Show. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226 from News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Welcoming your lawn and garden questions for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning at 651-461-9226. It seems like, Teresa, everybody's talking about the eclipse.
The eclipse, the solar eclipse. It's so exciting. Now, that's on Monday. Here in Minnesota, we won't see a full solar eclipse, a total eclipse, but we will see quite a nice one. However, we're probably going to have clouds. Even if you go out and it's cloudy, please wear glasses if you're the certified ISO glasses for the eclipse, if you're going to look at the eclipse. And if you're using any kind of binoculars, telescopes, phones, they have to be equipped with special filters also. Otherwise, you could burn your eyes and not be able to see anything ever again. So it's a special thing. And yes, it will get dark even if we have clouds. But if you are in a sunny area, or if the clouds break a little bit and you can watch it, I just want you to all be safe out there. That's my PSA.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. Again, 65, our number is phone number and text number. Same thing, 651-461-9226. Before we get back to text messages, let's grab a phone call. Cindy calling in, I believe, from Shakopee this morning. Hi, Cindy. What is your question for Teresa?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering, is it time? Can I dig up my sedum now and move it? It needs to be divided.
Okay, Cindy, thanks for waiting. And yes, if you can dig in the soil, today would be a great day to dig those sedums, divide them, get them replanted where you want them, and then Mother Nature, give them a good drink of water, and then Mother Nature will water them in for the next 2 days for you.
All right, great. Thanks, Cindy. I was looking at the next text. I dormant seeded last fall, texter says, should I think about watering right now?
You could give it a drink of water if you're not thinking you're going to get rain tomorrow. Otherwise, yes, do go ahead and give it some water. You want to start waking those seeds up. And now hopefully we'll get some normal spring rains that will start all these seeds to be woken up and get that grass growing for you. Good luck with that.
I'm looking at some other lawn questions, Teresa. Here's one: with rain planned for tomorrow and Monday and warmer temperatures this week, would this be a weekend, be a good time to apply fertilizer to the lawn and grub control?
I would double check on the grub control. Go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Check on the grubs, what grubs you're looking at, how big the grubs are in your yard, what grubs you have found in your yard. Identify them correctly, and that will tell you when to treat them. I would also read the package of the grub control that you purchased. It will tell you how warm the soil has to be, if there's air temperature issues, and the moisture level, if that is in a problem or an issue with the soil. I would not be fertilizing right now unless your grass is up and actively growing. I would just wait a little bit longer. I don't think the grass is up and growing quite yet. Just give it a little more time and then go ahead and fertilize once it starts to actively grow. Again, I would suggest go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu, and go to the lawn page, and you'll learn more about lawns than you ever knew was possible.
I think you're probably going to answer the same answer with this one. Is it too early to apply crabgrass preventative?
It's way too early for crabgrass preventative, unless you're calling from Missouri or something.
What is, a listener saying, asking, the best mulch and fertilizer for blueberries?
You can use any mulch on your blueberries. They have very shallow root systems, so you want to put some kind of mulch down. A fertilizer should maybe one for acid-loving plants, and then you want to make sure that you're testing the soil or that you're applying some kind of amendment to keep the soil at a lower pH, like soil sulfur or something like that, in the spring and the fall for your blueberries. Then just prune them properly, and you should be happy. But any kind of mulch works just fine. You can use leaves, pine needles, wood chips, whatever you like the look of.
All right, good. Let's grab another phone call. Teresa, Gary is phoning in this morning from St. Louis Park. Hi, Gary, what is your question?
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're talking about fertilizing, because that's my question today, and I realize it's too early to do that. And I also realize that if you put down fertilizer with crabgrass preventative, you will not be able to plant grass seeds and have them germinate. My question is, I want to fertilize, and I want some weed control, but I also might want to lay some grass seed down. Will a weed and feed allow me to do that?
A weed and feed might. I would make sure that it's only for broadleaf weeds, so double check that it's hitting broadleaf weeds. And as you said, Gary, it's too early for all of that kind of stuff. What you might want to do is just maybe not think about the seeding. You can seed a little bit now, but then put a calendar reminder at the end of August to overseed those areas, definitely, to remind you to overseed at the optimum time, and then you're not fighting against fertilizing and crabgrass and weed control. Good luck with that, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Now, here's another one. Is it too late to trim a branch or two off my young Korean maple?
It is not. go ahead and you can trim that. Again, if you have any other questions, I would definitely go to those really cool articles by Julie and the extension website. But your maple, you can go ahead and trim. Remember, whenever you're trimming on a tree, you never want to trim more than, say, 25% of the crown. So if it's a very young maple and you're with those two branches coming off, you're trimming 40 to 50%, then you only want to trim the lowest branch or the branch that's causing you problems, and then do the next one next year.
Okay. I know we mentioned earlier don't do any lawn raking yet, but this texter says, how soon can lawns be raked in preparation for putting down fertilizer and crabgrass preventer? So when do you think we could rake? Looking in your weather crystal ball, what do you think?
Darn it, I left the crystal ball up on the shelf and I can't reach it. So what I want you to do is just make sure that the lawn is dry when you're raking. You never want to be raking so much. If it's muddy or wet, you're not only going to compress the soil when you walk on it, but you're also going to pull out that all those little crab babies that you, those little grass babies that you want growing out there. You're going to pull out all those little plants. So you want to make sure that the soil is nice and dry, that you can walk on it, that it's not frozen, and then go ahead and lightly rake. And just look, when you start raking, if you suddenly realize there's a lot of green in your raking, what you're pulling up, you're raking too hard, or the soil could be too wet, or those grass seedlings are just so tiny that you're just pulling them right out and you're kind of defeating the purpose. So then just back off and wait a few days for the soil to dry out a little bit more.
Okay. I was wondering, Teresa, if we were going to be getting any questions about this, but this texter says, how about the cicada waves coming? Will this affect the perennials in our lawns?
We're not going to have the tsunami of cicadas. We're just going to have a regular cicada season. We're fine here. Don't worry about it. It's not the cicada apocalypse. It won't impact the lawns at all. We may see a few more. It's not going to impact what we see in our lawns.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Texter wants to know, is there a website that reports ground temperature?
There is. Yes, there is. You can even just Google Minnesota ground temperature and you should find it. Otherwise, go to the Extension website, extension.umn.edu, and you can find it listed on there. There'll be a connection probably in the lawn and garden area, because that's where you might, or the lawn area, that's where you might want to worry about temperatures for crabgrass and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. This texter says, Teresa, can you give me any hints on how to get my mother-in-law plant to bloom again? It bloomed years ago, but never again. Thank you.
They don't bloom very often, and when they do, it's pretty gosh darn spectacular. It's just something that's so unexpected. So it might need to be, make sure that it's old enough that you haven't divided it. Might need to be a little bit root-bound. They like to be root-bound anyway, really tight in their pots. And then you may want to stress it just a little bit, make sure it's getting as much sun and heat. I know that's what caused mine to bloom one year. It was up in the area where it was so hot and sunny, and I kind of forgot about it for a little bit. It's like, oh, you're blooming. It was quite wonderful. So the sun and the heat, maybe put it outside, let it enjoy some full sun, and it doesn't have to wear eclipse glasses. It'll be just fine.
Two different questions related to Annabelle hydrangeas. One says, my Annabelle hydrangeas are budding. Can I still cut them back to about 1 foot? That's one question.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is, what is the best fertilizer to use for them on the north side of our house? We have a lot of clay in our yard.
Okay, so if they're starting to bud out, sure, you can still prune them back. You'll probably just be delaying some blooms. Not a big deal. They bloom on new wood anyway, so don't worry about it. And the fertilizer, just any regular garden fertilizer will work for you. If you want to use a liquid, you can use a liquid or just a regular basic 10-10-10, or if you're going organic, just a balanced fertilizer, a light fertilizer, anything will work for your Annabelles. That should be just fine.
This texter says, is it too early to clean out flower gardens?
It depends. If your flower garden is nice and dry and you want to start cleaning, you can start doing that. If it's wet soil, do not walk on the soil and just wait till it dries out a little bit. If you've left some stuff standing for pollinators, the stem nesting bees and things like that, and some of the butterflies, if you want to cut that back carefully and then just maybe put those stems in an out-of-the-way place so the pollinators can still hatch out of them. Otherwise, wait until, I believe it's the temperatures have to be like 60 degrees for a week. I seem to remember that in my mind, and that wakes up the pollinators, and I think we're supposed to get that after this little bit of rain and coolness. So wait a little while and then cut them back. But if the pollinators, and I think we're supposed to get that after this little bit of rain and coolness. So wait a little while and then cut them back. But if you need to start cleaning up now, just carefully clean up what you have to clean up. And if you're saving for pollinators, just put the brush, the stuff you've pruned, just put it under some shrubs and just let the pollinators hatch. And then in 2 or 3 weeks, just clean that up and put it in your compost bin.
All right. Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a bit of a break here and be right back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show. Just a reminder, coming along in the 9 o'clock hour, Andy Lindis will be with us answering any kind of a home improvement question you might have. That's next hour on our home improvement show that makes it handy. Right now in the Twin Cities, we have 37 degrees going for 60. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday on CCO in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Master Gardener Teresa Rooney answering those lawn and garden questions. Teresa, we're getting a bunch of, maybe we could just generally answer questions about fertilizing our lawns. When do you think, is it too early? This week, obviously, the weatherman saying, you know, we could get some showers. Is this a good week or should we wait a while?
I'd probably wait till your lawn is actively growing.
Okay.
Wait till you start to see it greening up and then go ahead and fertilize. And just to throw this out there, the most important fertilizer you can do is the winterizer in the fall. That will help your lawns green up fast in the spring and help them be nice and robust and healthy, go through the winter and come out just like gangbusters in the spring. So again, make a note on your calendar in the 1st of September to look at the winterizing for your lawn.
Yeah, that really is, and you and your colleagues remind us of that, and John Trappi as well, the turf turf guru. Yeah, the winter fertilizer, yep. The fall is really the best one.
That's because it gets down to the roots, and then the plant can work on it all winter long. It's there. What you put down now is going to take a little while to get down there.
Okay, very good. This listener has lots of leaves on my huge perennial garden over the winter. I want to remove most of those leaves before the rain comes tomorrow. You think it's a good idea?
Sure. Just be careful with removing the leaves. Depending upon what part of the state you're in, just keep an eye open for if you're seeing, if we're going to have a frost and you want to put some leaves back over some little tender perennials that you may have. Otherwise, if they get nipped by the frost, it's not a big deal.
This texter says this, Teresa, purchased flowering hyacinths at Garden Center, done blooming. Now what should I do with the bulbs?
If you want to, you can plant them in your yard. Lots of times the ones that are forced in the floral industry won't do much or anything next year, and hyacinths tend not to come back that reliably anyway. So you have an option, either plant them and see what happens next spring or send them to the compost pile with thanks.
Okay. Here's an issue we talk about every, well, maybe 52 weeks a year. Rabbits are rampant in our neighborhood. Any suggestions on how to protect our plants?
Fencing is your friend. Learn to love chicken wire. Learn to love rabbit fencing. Plant plants that they don't care for as much, the alliums and the herbs and things like that that have strong odors and fragrances and smells. And you can use some of the repellents that are fragrance-based, that are smell-based. Just read them. The blood meal and things like that break down really fast once they get wet. Some last a little bit longer. And then if you're going to go the repellent route, maybe buy 3 or 4 different kinds and change them up every 2 or 3 weeks just to kind of keep the rabbits on their toes. These little critters live with us. They're used to humans. They're used to smells. They pick up really quickly when they're safe and when they're not safe. And just because it's a new smell, it's scary. But if the new smell's out there for 6 months, it's not scary anymore.
I was noticing yesterday a rabbit that I thought was gone showed
<It's>
up again. Only initially last year, it was kind of tiny. And I thought it snuck through some of my fencing, and I thought, but now it's so big, it'll never get out. So that's a whole different thing.
That is the problem with fencing. You can't protect them then.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, he or she is having a good year.
Yes.
How do you repot, Texter says, a very overgrown aloe plant that also has a cactus in it?
If you want to keep them together, you just put them back into cactus soil when you're going to repot them. Just do it very carefully. They have a very shallow root system, and they can get really top heavy. So you would just take it gently out of the pot and either put in new soil or take some of the soil off and put new soil in, and then just carefully place it in a little hole, and then just backfill carefully. Give it a nice drink of water, and it should be just fine.
The only question I've seen so far, as far as lawns go, are grass seed. Would it be okay to put down grass seed now?
Sure, you can. I don't know if the birds will get most of it, but now's an okay time to overseed your lawn. Just remember that you've put down grass seed, and you won't want to use a crabgrass preventer next month on that. You just don't want to, because the grass seed may not have sprouted yet. Look at the grass seed. It'll tell you if it sprouts in 3 days or 21 days or 28 days. Just see what kind of seed you're getting from the garden centers, and use the right seed in the right location, sunny or shady or high traffic or whatever.
Very good. Would it be safe, Texter says, to uncover my rose bushes today? They're mostly tea roses.
Sure. It should be just fine. Just double check the temperatures at night. You may want to just put a quick cover over them some nights if we're going to get down into the low 30s. But otherwise, they should be fine with the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Okay. Why are the leaves of my peace lily turning black? Listener wants to know.
It could be a variety of reasons. It could be that the leaf has been damaged somehow beneath when you've watered. If you're seeing it, if they're wilting, maybe it's getting too much water, not enough water. They don't really like the water from our faucets. If you have a water softener, definitely don't use any water from the faucets that use the water softener, because that's a salt, and you don't want to be adding salt into your peace lilies. So you'd want to use, distilled water or something like that, or take it from a faucet that doesn't use your water softener salt. Go to the extension website, extension.umn.edu. Look at the houseplant area. That'll give you some ideas. If none of this stuff is working for you and nothing seems right, then take some pictures and go to the extension website again and hit down to the Ask a Master Gardener and send them a few pictures and say, help, what's going on?
Sounds very good. We only have about a minute to go. Texter wants to move a fern peony. It's not doing so well. What's the best location?
A fern peony would like the full sun. That would like full sun.
Okay.
It's like North Dakota. Think of North Dakota, full hot sun. That baby wants full sun.
Okay. Now, what we haven't mentioned is to get to the Arboretum.
Go to the Arboretum. There's lots of stuff going on there. The Dutch iris are blooming. The hellebores are blooming. The pussy willows are blooming. The crocuses and trilliums are blooming. Discount days start next weekend for members. There's plant walks starting on the 22nd, and there's always yoga in the garden.
And it's such a marvelous place. But keep in mind, you do need to make reservations online.
Get your e-ticket first. But that helps you with parking, so that's really good. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you want to get some good reading in and you want to watch when the showers come in the next couple of days, sit back and get on the university website, extension.umn.edu. It's great. A lot of love goes into that website.
Use that to get out a lot of chores at home, making dinner, cleaning
up. Oh, I like that idea.
You've got to do some research for the garden. You've got to do the research so somebody else has to clean the cat box.
Thank you so much, Teresa. We'll do this again.
See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Now get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Linda's next hour on News Talk 830 WCCO.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Tuesday, September 10th, the Commercial Break Podcast welcomes international Latin megastar Nicky Jam. Nicky discusses his start as the rapping bad boy.
I mean, if you give me the right tip, I'll probably do it.
His Colombian redemption.
When you think of getting clean off drugs, Colombia maybe isn't the first place you think about.
And he helps Brian score some marriage points with his wife's family.
You were the soundtrack at my wedding, and you brought a bunch of gringos and Venezuelans together.
That's what music is for.
Follow and listen to the Commercial Break on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.